Have you been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
As you know, if you've been listening at all, we cover two main things on the show. One is hot cultural topics that are causing conflict for all of us at some level. And then we also cover wonderful ways, modalities, practices, and things to help us move through conflict more gracefully, in more of a helpful, healthy way. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got a great guest on the show who is an acupuncturist, and I have personally gone to her and was so impressed that I said, hey, you want to be on my show? So let's welcome Maria Torres to the show. Welcome, Maria. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm glad to be here. I'm very excited about today's topic.
Well, good. So let's just kick it off by having you share with our listeners your background. What got you into acupuncture, of all things, especially since you are a fantastic Latina? How in the world did you end up in Chinese medicine?
Well, it's actually not quite a far leap. I was born and raised in Miami, grew up there, so I'm a rather new transplant up here to Georgia. I've only been here about 3 years. I'm actually a food service professional, and my background is in food, but I specialized in hospitals, nursing homes, and assisted living. So I've been in the healing arts for over 20-something years. And the way I got into acupuncture specifically was that I got Bell's palsy, working many stressful hours. Half of my face became paralyzed, and I thought I was having a stroke, so I naturally went to the emergency room and sat there for multiple hours and was told that I wasn't having a stroke and that I needed to just go on my way and it would, you know, heal itself. I wasn't satisfied with that. And now, of course, when half of your face isn't working, you're thinking the worst and, like, how is this going to fix itself? I was not given any ways that it was going to fix itself. They, you know, I was told either it would help heal itself or it wouldn't. So in my research and looking for ways to make my face back to normal, I came across acupuncture and became, as many of us who start in this profession, a patient. And it blew my mind and it amazed me at how quickly and how effective the treatment was, and how, and my face just went back to normal within, you know, 4 or 5 sessions. I was able to eat normally and close my eyes, and, you know, just it went back to normal. So I pursued that after that. I said, you know, there's something here that I can really help people and bring this out and, you know, focus on this. So I decided to get my master's in Oriental medicine at that point. And that's what I did.
Wow. And so have you been practicing acupuncture ever since as a practitioner?
Not really. My journey into being a full-time practitioner took a lot longer because I was still a director of food service and responsible for many hospitals and nursing homes, and so I transitioned slowly. It wasn't until I moved up here to Georgia that I decided to let go of my first career and fully engage myself into this as a second career. But I have been practicing for approximately 9 years as a practitioner.
Wow. Well, 9 years is a long time, but I can tell you that my session with you, I would have thought you've been doing it, you know, for 30. You're very seasoned and extremely knowledgeable. So so that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think that you can really help people understand how it works, the benefits of it, why we go, all that good stuff. You and I, in our session, actually had side conversations on much deeper issues than what I came into, which is what caused me to want to have you on the show. And so basically for listeners who weren't in our session, I went to see Maria originally because I work out hard at the gym with a barbell, and heavy weights. And I'm only 4'10", and I've had lots of chronic illness throughout my life. And I think for anyone who's listened to the show, they know this boring story. But as a kid, I was on an experimental vaccine to build my immune system for 6 years, from the time I was 6 years old till I was 12. They took the vaccine off the market because it didn't work for everyone else, but thankfully it worked for me. And then in my 20s, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And then in my early 40s, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as I was waiting for that diagnosis, the stress-induced psoriatic arthritis, which is an autoimmune condition. So I've had my share of health issues. I have overcome all of them because of multiple holistic modalities, many of which I have featured on the show. So if there are listeners out there who haven't listened to some of those, you might want to go back into the archives and listen to some of the podcasts from past shows. But, you know, all of these modalities to me are ways to truly move through some health issues that can't necessarily be healed through Western medicine or traditional medicine as we know it without pharmaceuticals, right? And so I found a way through multiple modalities to do that. I was supposed to be on drugs the rest of my life with the diagnosis of fibromyalgia. I probably would have gotten on pharmaceuticals for probably the rest of my life for psoriatic arthritis had I not known other routes of healing. And so when after moving through all those things and deciding I'm tired of being sick and I'm tired of being weak physically, I decided I was going to start working out. Well, I ended up doing home workouts, and then I got a little addicted to it, and then I joined a gym for the first time in my life. I turned 50 this month, and I joined a gym 2 years ago, so I was a very late starter. We'd say a late bloomer. Going to the gym for the first time at 48 is not necessarily the norm. And I just love it so much. But for me to maintain this type of lifestyle, which is pharmaceutical free and weightlifting, my joints, having been diagnosed with two different forms of arthritis over the years, need a lot of care for me to stay in optimal shape. So when I went to see Maria, it was because I was getting ready to do a competition at the gym. I knew that my muscles were already strained and vulnerable, and I wanted her to help get them healed fully before I went back in and worked them out even harder than I usually do. So I wanted to give that backstory to understand where I am in my mind when I go to see her, and then where we ended up. Because the conversations we ended up having, Maria, if you recall, were very different. Yeah. Just giving me a tune-up for the gym, right?
Right.
She finds out in a very short period of time I was adopted. So immediately, what did you say to me?
I remember. Oh, well, we have to work. Well, I remember briefly that, you know, we have some bonding issues. And things that we had to work on.
Yeah. And you asked me, did I have digestive issues? Yes. Okay, well, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. Let's work on that. So we kind of opened up a whole different, much deeper level of healing in that very brief introductory conversation. And so proceeding to have a lot more conversation during the session that led us to this show. So that gives my background for everyone, but tell us, Maria, then, when you see a patient like me, what are you looking at? I know what I went in for, but what are you looking at or looking for when you see me or any patient?
That's a great question, because a lot of people looking to get acupuncture do not know what to expect, and they don't know, you know, what they're stepping into, literally. They know they're coming in for example, a knee pain or some sort of joint issue or digestive issue or something that that they're uncomfortable with. As a practitioner of Chinese medicine and acupuncturist, we don't look at just what you're coming in with. For example, that knee or that joint, that's just part of an entire picture that we look at. We look at the whole person. And why is that knee hurting? Okay, it could be something simple as trauma, right? You were lifting heavy weights and you hurt it. All right, so then, but why did it hurt? You know, like, was it susceptible to injury at that point? Do you have a predisposition to injuries in that area? We look at every little piece of the puzzle and every part of your being to like correlate how we're going to treat you, because we could keep treating the same injury over and over again, but if we don't get to the root cause or why that's happening, that's just going to keep coming back. So I look at obviously what you came in for. I look at the local area. We take pulses. We look at tongue, do a tongue diagnosis. We palpate to see what else is happening in the muscular system and on different channels of the body. Acupuncture works on the basis of the meridian system, which you can compare it to like a circulatory or channels or of energy or blood flow. So we compare and look at everything and start forming a picture, right? We get all these clues. That's why I asked you a lot of different questions. Do you have issues with your digestive system? How's your sleep? So I start building a picture and getting all of these clues and pieces to put together a puzzle as to point me into the direction of where the treatment would be the most effective. So where I would formulate then a treatment plan and where I'm going to needle to most affect that area and to give you the best outcome within that treatment.
Excellent. And so if we talk very specifically for those who have never done acupuncture, there probably are people out there who may be thinking what I was thinking long before I ever tried it, which was, I don't want a bunch of needles in my body.
So many
people just associate it with that, and that does not usually associate positively with our minds. So can you just walk those who have never done it, can you just walk them through freely what is the process and what, you know, the pain level typically is and what maybe if there are any side effects?
Okay. Great. When we say needles to somebody, what is the picture that comes into your mind? It's a hypodermic needle, right? I'm going to draw, blood's going to be drawn, or it's a very big and painful process, and people associate that kind of imagery with pain and discomfort. The needles that we use are a very thin gauge. I think about 10 or 20 of our needles fit inside a hypodermic needle. So that's just to give you a kind of like visual. It's like a little, like a cat whisker or a hair. It's that thin. These needles are individually sealed, so they're sterile. They're one-time use. We use them once on the body, and we dispose of them in sharps containers and red containers, and they're taken care of by a disposal company. That being said, it also depends on what the issue is that a patient is coming in to treat. And people ask me all the time, how many needles? Well, it also depends. If there is a lot of work to be done or things to balance in the body, we'll use more. But typically, it'll be maybe 10 to 20 needles. And they're placed in different areas of the body. Not all areas of the body, you will feel it. Areas with larger muscle mass, for example, on the back, the buttocks, the thighs, you will typically not feel a very big sensation because there's a lot of muscle tissue and fat tissue and things that the needle goes through. Areas with less densities, for example, I say the hands or the feet or the face or the ears, they have less flesh, so there will be some sort of sensation. However, it's not a pain sensation like most people will think. It is maybe a short, brief little pinch or a sensation that they can't really describe, which we describe as the chi arriving at the area. So you'll feel a sensation of maybe a little electrical, a little heaviness, a little energetic, something you really can't describe, but it's not really pain. And that's pretty much what I tell people.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then from a patient perspective, I can share that, you know, I'm not a necessarily a needle-friendly person. I had the immunization I had to do as a child was in the form of a shot, and it was a big shot. And I was 6 years old, and I had to do it every Saturday for 6 years. So if I never saw another needle again in my life, I was really going to be good with that. So, you know, when I find myself 40 years later, deciding to volunteer to have needles put throughout my body, it just seems very odd to me. But I can say that as a patient, these needles are so tiny. And in fact, when they're put in your body, to Maria's point, depending on where it is, there are some, like, I don't even know they're in there because you may be lying face down. If there's, you know, something that they want to do on the backside, and you may, if you don't see it, you may not even know it's there. Mm-hmm. And so, so you rely on the acupuncturist to let you know so that you don't move, like you don't like roll over on a needle. But, but the point
that's
being
good point.
Is that, but you also put some heat on certain areas, through, I want to say a heat lamp or something. And then leave the room. And so what I share with listeners is literally I fall asleep. And if I don't fall asleep, I'm closing my eyes and I'm able to meditate because once the needles are in, you really don't feel them. And if they're painful when they go in, you can tell the practitioner because they can move it. They may have put it in the wrong face. So it really is not anything like pain that you associate or that I would associate with needles going in your body. So I just wanted to put that out there just to encourage people to try it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And now that we've covered the basics of acupuncture, we're going to come back and talk about how are we going to associate that with conflict. So stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Maria Torres about the power of acupuncture. And the question I posed before we went to commercial break was, what does this have to do with conflict, since the show is called Conflict Rising? So from my perspective, we all deal with conflict every day. And on some of my other episodes, you know, I tackle or I invite guests on to educate and inform all of us on these really hard-hitting cultural issues because most all of us, unless you truly live under a rock, most all of us are dealing right now at a macro, in a macro scope, with cultural issues, a lot of conflict. Our country is very divided. Many countries around the world are very divided. There is a lot of fracturing in the global community because of it. And so we're all dealing with that at a macro level. And then at a micro level, every one of us has conflicts in our lives, whether it's stress at the office, stress at the within the family, in our relationships. It is part of our human existence, conflict, because we live in a world of relativity, right, where there's dark, there's light. But how we handle that conflict and how we allow it to affect us is really the crucial difference between happiness and sadness, between success and failure, between feeling elation and depression. And so that's why we have this show. That's why we talk about these things, is part of moving through conflict is just educating ourselves, right? And helping ourselves to be more empathetic toward other points of view, to try to understand where people have judgment, why they have judgment through their experiences. And then the other part is to help us go within and really understand ourselves better. Where are our judgments coming from? Where are our values coming from? Where are the things that cause us conflict really originating? And they always originate within us. We as human beings tend to think that it's always outside of us. It's that guy, it's that woman, it's that kid, it's that money issue, it's that job. But it really originates within us. So when Maria so astutely started asking questions when she found out I was adopted, I can voluntarily say, oh, yeah, I've had so many traumas in my life that if I track back truly and was very honest with myself about the point of origin of such traumas, like getting my boobs cut off, I would say it all goes back to that. Why? Because, you know, most human beings have deep-seated fears of abandonment, but it literally happened for me at my birth, where I was left to be adopted. I didn't go home to my family for 3 weeks, which is really a walk in the park compared to a lot of children around the world. But neurologically, that is extremely traumatic and damaging. So even though I was raised in a wonderful home, I could not speak more highly about my parents. Very awesome childhood, except for the illness. But at a neurological level, that's what we're operating from. That is our operating system. If we think of our brain as the hardware and we think of our neural system as the software, these are the applications that have been downloaded. So if I have a belief system that is downloaded that says, I'm not lovable, nobody's going to love me, I'm not worthy of being loved, which is what has come from my adoption, then unconsciously, unbeknownst to me throughout my life, I end up attracting experiences that prove that. Now, is it really true? No, not necessarily true. But then it becomes a physical reality. We draw it in. And so that sounds way more complicated than it actually is, but hopefully you can follow that. So acupuncture, talk to me, Maria, about where does acupuncture come into that neural circuitry? What is its impact or its engagement with the central nervous system, or the sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system? Can you talk about that?
Yes. Well, it affects all of it, because the needles that we're placing into the body don't just affect that local area. They are triggering a response in the brain. So then the brain is sending out, you know, like I said, little scouts to see what's going on over there. You know, we have been impaled. Let's find out if we need to send, you know, blood clot. You know, they don't know what's happening. But then in this process, the body starts to react to what's going on, and all these needles are sending information, you know, electrical little, you know, it's almost as if a bug caught in a spider's web, right? The spider knows something's happening in that area, so it's going to go check it out. And that affects the whole system. So then in that, you know, in the, like you mentioned, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system, right, the brain will then switch into, like, sending out other chemicals and other things to relax the body. I like to use a lot of auricular therapy or acupuncture points in the ear, because they're quite literally right next to the brain, and with those points I can affect the entire body system. And remember, from your treatment, we used points all over the body. I used points on your head, your ears, all over. And these have a way of just calming down that body's, you know, fight or flight, right? Resetting that high alert kind of thing, and just kind of letting you relax more into, you know, where you are at the moment. It really calls awareness to where you are at the moment. I find many patients that I've worked on and over the years that people are really struggling with just connecting to their own body. See, they don't. The only time they felt that they were connected was when I put needle in there, and they had to literally sit there with themselves. And I left the room. I leave the room on purpose for 10 to 20 minutes so that you are able to process whatever's going on, feel where you are, because you have no choice. You have to stay there with the needles in your body. And then you kind of go, you meditate or think, or just some people do fall asleep. But it connects you to yourself, right? And it helps you to kind of be present with where you are at the moment. So that's part of it. So there's a whole complicated, and there's studies and theories out there of the mechanics and the scientific methods of how acupuncture work. But basically, it's stimulating your body to respond to a stimulus, and the brain is then sending out, you know, electrical impulses or circulation, blood flow to the area. And then that's just the basics of how that works.
So thank you for that, because I can't speak to anything except my experience, right? I am very ignorant mm-hmm. to the bigger picture and the science behind it and all that, because that's not my field of study. I am just a patient who has studied my life and the effects of different mm-hmm. modalities and the effects of different traumas. And in fact, what I teach and I'm finishing up a book on is intrinsic motivation, because after 17 years of studying this and teaching it, I actually want to share it with more people, because it's been so profoundly transformational for me and clients over the years. And so where acupuncture has come in for me in this bigger picture process of what I understand is when we talk about, and I know it sounds very cliche for us to say the mind, body, spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Mind, body, spirit, this, mind, body, spirit, that, the connection. But it's very, very real in the sense that if you go back and think about the brain and the operating system and applications that have been downloaded through experiences that we don't even consciously remember, then those are driving certain biochemical responses, certain thought processes that are very unconscious to us most of the time. We only start to increase consciousness to it when we begin the journey of self-discovery, self-awareness. Why in the heck did I have that huge response or reaction to what that person just said or what that other person just did? And when you start that journey to go within and really start to dig, you start to uncover all kinds of things that you can speculate about in your early childhood memory, not just what's conscious. And so when I think about that mind, body, spirit connection, it is, if the brain is in charge of everything, right? Because it dictates all of our functions, from our thoughts and our feelings down to our pain points and our movement and everything else, right? We know it controls pretty much everything. So if it's in charge and it's been wired in a way that doesn't serve my highest good, because I've been wired on applications that say I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, whatever it might be, right? Everybody has this. I'm just telling my story, right? Everybody has a story. And behind that story is your operating system. And so when we do have physical pain, or when we have emotional trauma or even physical trauma, then that is hitting the same system that was already affected by these early childhood things. So then we start to get some real physical issues, because the mind-body connection is so in sync. We think we can separate them. We think we can push our bodies because our minds are in charge, and we say, I'm going to do that. I don't care what my body says. Well, guess who's going to win in the end? Your body. Because eventually your body's going to say, yeah, good luck with that, because you're going to bed now. Or you're going to the hospital now. or you're going to get a really bad diagnosis because I'm sick of you. So the mind and body are together whether you like it or not. The spirit, the human spirit, is the only thing I believe that is bigger, or as mighty as, I should say, the brain. So if we don't consciously nurture our spirits, if we don't take those nature walks, if we don't meditate, if we don't consciously exercise trust and faith, and I am not talking about religion, we are setting ourselves up for illness. We're not allowing our spirits to emerge and help dictate a healthier path. So to me, acupuncture brings all of it together, because for me, it's one of those times where I get to meditate. So I'm going to take the time to go and set aside time for myself. I'm going to prioritize this as my self-care. I'm going to look at it as optimizing my wellness. So I'm taking care of my mind, my body, and my spirit, but I'm doing it consciously this time. All the while, the acupuncture itself is kind of my partner in crime. It's doing the heavier lifting inside my neural circuitry that's running the show. It's doing more of the heavy lifting that I can't do, but we're working together. So that's how I look at it as a patient, from a patient perspective. So I don't know, Maria, what would you add to that, or what would you discredit from what I just said?
No, I won't discredit any of that, because it all makes sense. Acupuncture has been in continuous practice for over 3,000 years, and from the beginning, they have never separated humanity or humans from nature. As a matter of fact, they have the three treasures in Chinese medicine, which are heaven, humanity, and earth. And you can relate that to the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual connection. So we've always been, in the Chinese medicine, connected. It's never been a separate thing. We don't just treat the finger and then not treat the whole body. We treat the entire system. So for us, in our Chinese medical purposes, we address all those things. And there's different levels. You spoke earlier of the dark and the light correlations, and Chinese medicine is a system based on these correlations, right? You have yin and yang, right? The dark, the light. So it's a balance. And conflicts exist because there's never purely one without the other. You have to have darkness in order to have light. And then, so there is a constant movement, if you want to say it, to replace the word conflict, but there's a constant movement of that. They also have, the idea and the concept of layers or levels in Chinese medicine. So we have different levels in these systems. So the more superficial the channels or the levels are, external pathogens are treated at that level. If issues are chronic in nature or constitutional issues, those are in those deeper channels, and we needle a specific way to get to, or different way to get to those deeper issues, right? So there's different ways that acupuncture can help. I mean, we certainly do help with a lot of the daily issues, right? We all have those, as you just stated, stresses, the conditioning imprints and patterns, that we have come, that we have been given or programmed with when we were little, right? Emotions and unfavorable things, the things that happen in our life that happens to us, right? And, what acupuncture is really good at is it helps to release, clear, and remove some of those internal conflicts, like you say, of blockages of energies or flows where things aren't flowing right, so that you can then process and deal with all those deeper emotional issues. The acupuncture itself isn't, I think I told this to you as well, the acupuncture isn't curing you. Your body's doing it. We are just suggesting to the body where the imbalances are and trying to help to get to that body to regulate itself and then do the healing that it's innately built to do. So that's
so cool. Because we all know how sophisticated the brain is and how sophisticated the body is, and what a work of art and just miracle, scientific miracle, right? That the human body really is, and the human brain. And so I love that you said that. The acupuncture, it's like, it's the means to the end, right? It's like your end is really the wellness that your body has the total potential to give you.
Right.
and acupuncture is the
means. Your body wants to be well.
Mm-hmm. Your body wants
your body
to be
wants
well.
To be, it wants to be in balance. It wants to be well. And yeah. A lot of times we, through life, things that happen, things get complicated and then symptoms start piling up. Your body starts giving you messages from way back. They're called symptoms. So it'll start hurting somewhere and you ignore it. And then, like you said earlier, well, now you're going to have to go to the emergency room, or now you're going to have to, because I'm going to make you listen to me. And that's what your body's telling you. So,
mm-hmm.
The sooner
yeah.
we listen
so,
to
you
it,
know,
the...
Yeah, it, yes, listening to our bodies. That's something we have to really hone as a skill, is because we are conditioned. And in my opinion, it just seems that the more innovative we come as a society, yes, it brings us great comforts and conveniences, but it also has the ability to disconnect us from ourselves. And that's a crucial point that we need to be acutely aware of, that we consciously connect with ourselves, center ourselves, listen. Our body is always telling us what it needs. Are we listening? In fact, exactly. I've told my daughter many times, when she's conflicted, and she's 15, so she's got a lot of hormonal changes going on, a lot of stresses at school, a lot on that she feels conflicted about on a fairly regular basis, but normal things. But still, we get hit with a lot as just being human on this planet. And so when she gets really conflicted and starts to almost get into like a fear paralysis because the stress is like, oh my gosh, I don't know which way to turn now, so I'm just not going to do anything. I ask her, go lie down, close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and let your body tell you. Because your body will never lie to you, but your mind will.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind will tell you all kinds of crazy things and make you believe it's true. But your body won't. Your body will actually be energized at the thought of the best decision for you, and it will feel more tired at the thought of a decision that is not in your best interest. And I always find that fascinating. I experiment with it a lot. So that's just one little thing that people can keep in mind and experiment with themselves if you get to that fear paralysis point with your stressors at home, for those of you listening. But Maria, you've made such awesome points. I know we're going to go to a commercial break soon. And so one of the things that I wanted to come back to was, practical tools and tips, what people can do. So we'll
Perfect.
Take a quick commercial break now, and when we come back, we'll jump more into the practical. So stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. We were continuing our conversation with Maria Torres, who is a senior acupuncturist at the Art of Healing here in Atlanta, Georgia, and she has been my acupuncturist. And so I wanted to go back just for a second, because I don't know if anybody caught it when I made a joke about getting my boobs cut off, but I did have a bilateral mastectomy as a result of breast cancer. And so, you know, I can joke about it now all these years later, but I cannot express how much of a trauma that has actually been in my life because, only because of the emotional trauma, right? The physical trauma, was my focus at the time because back when that was happening, I was newly divorced. I decided to walk away from my material, world. I was starting from scratch. I was self-employed. I had two very young children in tow. Two dogs, and so I, and parents that were four states away and a father who was very severely handicapped and in and out of hospitals threatening to die all the time. I was the one who always traveled up there to be there and support my family. So when this kind of started crashing down, it was very difficult, very difficult. Because I had not built a support system for myself. I was the support system for many other loved ones. And so at the time, my biggest concern was, what is this going to take? How long is it going to take? When are we going to be finished with it? How much is it going to cost? Because I had to be in that mindset to make it through. And so that mindset actually caught up to me later because these aren't things that just happen every day that you can just kind of try to manage on a practical level. And so I ended up homeless. and I ended up homeless because starting over from scratch financially, being self-employed and having, you know, what was it, five surgeries in 10 months, does not make for a prosperous life. So, thankfully, I had a dear friend who took us in, and thankfully, we were only there for 6 weeks. So homeless is a big word that has a scary connotation, but if you have to do homelessness, you should do it the way I did it. So I feel very fortunate that I did have a support system that showed up in spite of the fact I had not created one over the years. So I was very, very fortunate. But the bottom line is, when that happened, I was at the weakest point in my life, emotionally, physically, financially. And it could have broken me completely, and it nearly did, don't get me wrong. It was very, very difficult. But I had to make a decision, and the decision was, am I gonna let it break me? Or what do I want to do with this? And I made a decision at that point right then and there that I knew I had then understood what it felt like to be my weakest. It was the weakest version of myself. I never dreamed I would be in a situation like that. Never. I was always the strong one emotionally. And I was at my weakest. And I just decided right then and there, okay, I see what this is like. This sucks. It's horrible. This is, you know, I can laugh about it now, but I was not laughing a whole lot back then. And I just made a decision right then. I am going to learn what it feels like to be my strongest. And that very dark period in my life ended up leading me to strength that I never believed I could have. Never. I am so physically strong now, and it blows my mind. And because even though I had worked really hard before to overcome all the other health issues, and I had defied the odds of being on pharmaceutical drugs the rest of my life. And I was very proud of that. I started my business from everything I had learned from that 17 years ago. I found myself at a new pinnacle of hardship. And it was shocking, but I would never have chosen to proactively become strong had it not happened. I would have stayed where I was and felt okay and not even known it was only okay. I didn't know, right? Because when we have kind of a certain normalcy until a trauma hits, we oftentimes take that normalcy for granted. This is just human nature, right? This is nothing special about my story. But it was the conscious decision. So, you know, so much of that is why I wanted to start the show. It's to help and inspire others who are struggling a lot in today's world. I mean, there are people, millions, if not billions of people, every second of every day are going through a hardcore struggle. And it's really about conscious decision-making about our well-being. So acupuncture is one of many tools that I'm asking everyone to start gathering in their toolbox. You know, having open and loving and vulnerable conversations is a tool in your toolbox. Learning how to do that. Going on those nature walks. Shutting down the busyness long enough to restore your spirit. Those are all tools in your toolbox. So there's lots of things out there, lots of other modalities as well. But acupuncture is incredibly powerful. I encourage people to try it. So Maria, talk to me, talk to our listeners about what they can do. If they live in Atlanta, great, go see you, right? But if they don't live in Atlanta, what are some things that you're going to ask them to consider as they consider acupuncture? What should they be thinking about?
Well, you should be thinking about, as you choose any healthcare professional, are they licensed, right? Then you know, check them out. See if they are on their, have a website. You can look them up, read the bios. It's just like choosing another healthcare professional. You have to feel comfortable with the person as well. Choosing an acupuncturist is a little more personal than going to a, you know, general practitioner, in the sense that we do build a relationship, right? We are really concerned about your entire person and your body. So the connection between you and the therapist has to be there, right? So you can, you know, go and have a consult. If you're unsure, you ask them if they will do a 15 or a 30-minute free consultation so you can get to talk to the practitioner and see what the clinic is like, how you feel in that clinic. Because you also have to feel very comfortable. I'm sure we've all had the experience, and I know I have, when I walk into a medical clinic and it's just like, I don't feel good here. I don't feel right. I feel unsafe, or I feel, you know, something's off. We all have that, and that's that part of listening to your body you have to pay attention to. Because if you're already in a state of, I don't feel right here, how is that going to help you, right? So that's an important thing. You know, go on, you ask questions, and you get your consult. And if you like the treatment location, the what they have to say and how you're feeling there, then proceed and get a treatment. If you are in the greater Atlanta area, you can always look us up. I mean, it doesn't have to be this clinic. I mean, same thing applies. You have to see if it's right fit for you. In the Atlanta area, we are at Art of Healing, and our website is aohealing.com. We have two locations. One is in Midtown, and the other is in Sandy Springs. So you can choose either one, and all of our bios are online, so you can see all of the therapists and all the practitioners that are on there. We all have our areas of specialty or focus, but that doesn't mean that we don't treat everything else. So you can go and check us out and see if we make sense for you.
Yes, and I would say you could go in like I did, thinking that you have a pain, a certain muscle pain or joint pain or whatever pain you might have, maybe a headache, who knows. But you could go in to treat those types of symptoms and create a relationship with your acupuncturist to discover maybe how that's affecting your body, where it's affecting your body, what that might be leading to, and let it be a kind of a process of discovery about yourself. But you can also go to an acupuncturist if you're just having a hard time with your stress, right? It could be more emotional or mentally based, and allow your acupuncturist to help you move through that and allow your body to be a vessel to do that. And because one of the things I think we fail at is really honoring our mental and emotional health. Think of it just like you do your physical health. If it's not feeling like it's ready to get up and go every day with a happy attitude, that's okay, but do something about it, right? You give yourself that treat. Love yourself, be good to yourself, and your whole self, to Maria's point. Treat your whole self like a queen or a king. Because we've got just a limited amount of time here. Let's make it the best we can, right? We can take those hardships. And the reason why I bore you with my story is because my point is, take the hard conflict and transmute it. Be your own alchemist and turn it into what can be your greatest potential. That's what this is all about. And acupuncture can be a major tool to doing that. So before we close out the show, Maria, do you have anything else that we didn't cover or any parting words for our listeners that you think they might need to hear based on your experiences with patients over time? What might be?
Thank you, first of all, for inviting me on the show, and amazing. And to everyone out there who is listening, she is really strong. When I first met her, she came into the clinic. I had no idea what I was going to treat her because, you know, we're the same. The practitioners really don't know what's walking in until it walks in. But let me tell you, you are an amazing woman, and I am so honored to have been able to treat you.
Thank you. I don't know if I mentioned that I'm only 4'10", so looks are deceiving. I don't look nearly as strong as I am.
Oh, you are. She's concentrated power. That's what I call you. I just want to mention that, you know, at Art of Healing, we don't just do acupuncture here. We have different modalities also, because you were saying that, you know, explore different modalities and try and get yourself the best kind of whatever you need for yourself. We do acupuncture. We also have massage therapy. We also have a wonderful practitioner, Dr. Wesley, who does a core transformation emotional release therapy. So we work well together within our little group here, and we refer to each other, and we talk to each other about all of our patients. We literally try to figure out what is the best course of action for this person to get them to their wellness goals, to get them to their healing, the best healing. We do some stretching and some dry needling. We have herbs, we have homeopathy, and we also refer out to other medical professionals. It's not just, you know, we are very well vested into what's happening with you as a patient, and we care about getting you to your wellness goals. So, you know, you said earlier about, you know, the conflict and the thought that came to my mind was a diamond, right? It's a lump of coal, but without that pressure, you can't make a diamond. So treat life as that, you know, is this polishing me? Is this making me a better person? Or why am I going through this? You know, it's great to seek the answers and get back in touch with, you know, who is really thinking this thought? Is it that voice in my head that told me I was no good at sports? Or is it that voice in my head that, you know, makes no rational sense as to, you know, why I'm not loved, you know? So we have to get back in touch with who we truly are in our person. And acupuncture is a fantastic way to just help you process what's going on in yourselves and help move blockages that are within the body, whether they are energetic or blood or stagnation of chi, as we call it, or blood. So we help to move things. And sometimes when we do move it, and I've had patients that I've treated that have come in for, let's say, you know, a sports kind of injury or something, and as soon as we start working, kneeling, I look and they're crying. they just start crying. They don't know why they're crying. But it's an emotional
And it's not because of the pain. Right.
Oh, it's not because of the
pain. I was going to say, it's not because of the pain of the needles, people.
No, it's not. That you'll hear screaming, but that happens other days. No. It's an emotional release, and that happens sometimes. People will, and I've had grown men as well who have, you know, have emotional releases, and that can happen in a session. Sometimes when you have a session that's particularly productive, I say, you know, I tell people get up slowly because we did move a lot of energy, blood, and things that we just don't know, can't specifically put our finger on. And so you might feel a little bit dizzy or woozy, you know, hydrate afterwards. You know, try to stay calm. I told you, go home, relax. Don't go into a busy open area with a lot of noise and a lot of things because your body's an open channel right now and you will be overwhelmed by all of things that are out there, you know, traffic and people and noise. And so after sessions, it's really good to just kind of be with yourself, go home and rest, you know, and then to take care of yourself.
Yes.
But,
yes.
You know,
and remember, you know, the mantra, everyone, is to feel is to heal. So we want to feel those things. Mm-hmm. So we ultimately want to heal and become our best selves. So, Maria, I cannot thank you enough. It has been a complete honor to have you on the show. I thank you so much for being here today. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I will see you all next Thursday at 3:00 on Conflict Rising. Thanks again.